5G is the new G, so 3G is going like 2G. That pretty much sums up our first story today. I'm Carl Azus, and let me explain. Fifth generation, or 5G, is the latest wireless technology available. It offers faster internet speeds and better performance than previous generations. It has its downsides. 5G requires more cellular towers than other networks. It may be years before some rural areas get it, and there are always concerns about new technologies being hacked. But wireless providers are expanding their 5G availability. And when they do that, it leaves less room on the wireless spectrum. The radio waves that these technologies use are limited. So what companies are doing is phasing out 3G, their third generation technology, to make room for 5G. When will this happen? AT&T will shut down its 3G network next week. T-Mobile and Verizon will do it later this year. Here's why this matters. There are still devices that use 3G, and those devices may no longer work once the network is shut down. Companies have been pushing people to upgrade their 3G smartphones, e-readers, and tablets. Some medical devices and home alarm systems may still need to be updated. And millions of cars could be affected by this, especially if they're more than 5 years old. Vehicles that use 3G modems could have problems with GPS and traffic information. Those with the ability to call police if there's an accident could fail if their software isn't upgraded to at least 4G technology. Some car makers have offered fixes for this, others reportedly haven't. So many drivers may lose features in their cars if they haven't upgraded them or if an update simply isn't available. Wireless carriers have shut down networks before. AT&T and Verizon eliminated their 2G coverage in 2017. 10-7 trivia. Since 1924, what country has won the most medals in the Winter Olympics? Soviet Union, Germany, United States, or Norway? The European nation of Norway has the most medals overall and the most golds of any country. And when we produced this show, Norway was leading in those counts in these games. But a lot of media attention has centered on a Russian figure skater. Olympics officials say they have a zero-tolerance policy when it comes to doping, taking certain performance-enhancing drugs that have been banned. In December, 15-year-old Kamila Valieva tested positive for one of these substances, but this wasn't reported to Russia's anti-doping agency until February. After she helped her team win a gold medal, Valieva was suspended from these Olympics, but she was reinstated, allowed to compete again after she appealed the ruling. Valieva says her grandfather uses the drug and that she must have accidentally ingested it. She'll stay on the ice while the investigation takes place.
This doping scandal around Russian figure skater Kamila Valieva continues to cast a dark shadow over the Olympic Games as new details emerge. 15-year-old Valieva reportedly had three different substances in her drug test sample. These substances are all used to treat a heart condition, but only one of the drugs is considered a banned substance. But I spoke to the CEO of the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency who told me that all three of the drugs have performance-enhancing capabilities, including increasing endurance, reducing fatigue. He said that the fact that all three of these drugs were mixed together suggests a deliberate and sophisticated attempt to improve performance. CNN and Tygart reviewed a document that showed Valieva had declared the use of two other drugs, hypoxin and L-carnitine, that are, again, not considered banned substances, but what Tygart says are also used to improve performance. Now, the decision to allow Kamila Valieva to continue to compete at these Olympics is causing outrage. Some former athletes, Olympians, saying that this is tainting the entire Olympic experience. If Valieva places in the top three this week, which she is expected to, she will not receive a medal. The other competitors will not receive a medal. No medals will be awarded until a full investigation is complete.
Lumber is getting more expensive in America. This is the building block of new homes, and its cost last May hit an all-time record high. It's fallen sharply, then risen again since then. And while lumber still isn't as expensive now as it was last spring, a forest industry report says it's triple what it was before coronavirus took its toll. What does that mean? New single-family homes are almost $19,000 more expensive than they'd normally be, according to a Home Builders Association. Reasons for this include ongoing problems with the supply chain of goods and challenges in transporting wood. Sawmills have had trouble keeping up with demand. Other factors are biological and political.
If the definition of inflation is too many dollars chasing not enough goods, well, this is what happens when too many houses chase not enough wood.
How would you characterize the price of lumber today?
Volatile. Yeah, it is up and down. It got to the point we were just adding 20 to 30% just because, and hopefully that will cover it.
It's all they can talk about at the National Association of Home Builders Convention in Orlando this week, starting with a sticker poll.
Down here is one person who said it's been by 75%. At a normal time, if the cost of a building material were to increase by 75%, people would be coming unglued. But look what it is. Most of them are 200% or more.
Right.
There are a few reasons why, but the problem begins in the Canadian Rockies. The source of almost one in every three boards hammered into American homes, and where a plague of beetles arrived with the power to kill 100,000 trees a day. So many, you could hear them over the phone.
And you could actually hear the beetles underneath the bark. He says, I'm listening to my trees being killed.
Oh my God.
Forest biologist Janice Cook has studied the invasion of mountain pine beetles for decades.
Warmer overwinters and hotter, drier summers, we saw those populations not only rise to epidemic levels, but in some areas what we call a hyper-epidemic.
Mountain pine beetles attack a single tree like an invading army. And to defend itself, the lodgepole pine fills its cracks with this sticky chemical compound we know as pitch. Well, this turns out to be highly flammable. So in the end, if the beetles win, you've got a 50-foot fire starter. Beetle kill forest helped accelerate those western megafires. And altogether, 50 million acres have been lost up here, an area the size of Minnesota.
We have more than 30 mill closures in the interior of BC alone. Mills are not running 24/7 anymore.
In the meantime, there is the 40-year-old trade war with the United States, and based on an old formula, tariffs on Canadian wood automatically doubled recently. Joe Biden could dial those back, but like Canada, he's also protecting more federal trees, especially the old-growth stands in places like Tongass National Forest.
The Biden administration has cut back on the harvesting of timber on our federal lands for environmental purposes, and so we need more lumber from outside. The Biden administration it has not gone to the table to negotiate a long-term deal with Canada. So once again, we've got to look somewhere else. In fact, we've opened up discussions with the German government about bringing in more from Germany.
And more builders like John Riddle in Winter Park, Florida, are finding lumber alternatives by injecting these stackable foam molds with concrete. He says he creates walls 50% more energy efficient and 100% more fireproof.
This seems to me, as we watch zoning regulations change in California due to wildfires, like an amazing solution.
Yeah, that doesn't burn.
Right.
Concrete won't burn.
Right.
Yeah. Now, in my mind, there's no reason why this is not more prevalent.
This is the business case for considering our forests and our trees and our forests for their entire ecosystem services and not just the price of a 2x4.
It's not every day you meet a 15-year-old basketball player who can dunk. Then again, it's not every day you meet one who's 7 feet 5 inches tall, so the dunking thing is kind of a footnote. Olivier Rioux is the tallest teenager on Earth, according to Guinness World Records. His mom is 6'2", his dad is 6'8", his shoe size is 20, and Ollie's reportedly a strong passer and three-point shooter, making him a quadruple threat on his Florida team. It's no tall tale, small tale, fish or other false tale. All hail Ollie's highness. Maybe now's the time to sign this finest phenom you can't short. At the heights of high school sport, he's the sort on the court. Scouts will want a court of court. Everybody's looking up to the tallest baller they have met who fills the big shoes of a long-legged legacy with nothing but net. I'm Carl Azus, dunking puns and rhymes on CNN 10. Today's shout-out takes us to Winder Barrow High School. It is great to see all y'all in Winder, Georgia. Our YouTube channel is the only place we look for shout-out schools.